On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In 10 weeks and one day, Governor Evers will deliver a state budget address virtually. It normally kicks off budget negotiations, showcasing what the governor wants to prioritize spending on in the next two-year cycle. We explore what budgeting may look like in the midst of the health crisis, economic fallout, and a COVID vaccine rollout. In recent weeks, the governor has held budget listening sessions for Wisconsinites to offer input. One is set for tomorrow on criminal justice. A fourth and final one is set for next week on education. Have you been on one? What do you want to know about the state budget process? What would you like lawmakers and the governor to prioritize? It's 800-642-1234. J.R. Ross is editor of Wispolitics. He's covered state government and politics for decades. J.R., welcome back to the Ideas Network.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. So developing the biennial budget, this involves a nearly year-long process. In the fall of the even-numbered year, state agencies submit budget requests to the Department of Administration, and it seems we're smack dab in the middle of the process. Can you explain what numbers state agencies are working from in the pandemic?
Sure. They're working off projections, and honestly, the projections aren't that bad. But the caveat is the uncertainty over COVID-19. And so let me kind of give you a quick big picture look. The Department of Administration under Governor Tony Evers put out this report. They do every November of even-numbered years. And that report says that we're expected to finish this fiscal year, which ends June 30th, with a surplus of about $1.2 billion. If you add up the projected revenue for the next 2 years, that next budget period, and layer in then how much the agencies want to spend, we have a kind of a, we call it a shortfall of about $1.2 billion. The caveat, first big caveat is state agencies never get everything they ask for. It's like your kids at Christmas. You never get everything on their list unless you're going to spoil them. It's the same thing with agencies. They always overshoot what they really want because they know they're going to get pared back. At the same time, there are a number of like potential potholes in this road to having a budget being done. One of them is obviously COVID-19. We think we're going to get a vaccine that'll be widely available sometime in the next few months. We think the economy was going to pick back up from that. If that doesn't happen, that could be an issue. Number two, the budget from the Department of Health Services was built on the idea of accepting federal money to expand the Medicaid program through the Affordable Care Act. Remember, Governor Evers proposed that in his last budget. Republicans rejected it. If they don't do it, it adds another $588 million to that whole quote-unquote shortfall in these agency requests. So there are some issues to work with, not to mention a whole new lineup in the Joint Finance Committee, which is the budget committee legislature run by Republicans, and how that body will work with Governor Evers going forward.
Yeah, we'll look at the politics there in a moment. How much is Wisconsin banking on additional stimulus funds?
Well, right now we're not banking on anything because we've asked for them. Governor Evers sent a letter to the congressional delegation and the president last week saying, hey, we could really use about $466 million in money to help pay for the cost of contact tracing and testing and those kinds of things. That's up in the air. They're working on a bill right now in Congress. If that comes, that could take care of those costs. If it doesn't, there's another, pothole in this budget picture of how does Wisconsin pay for those things like contact tracing and the testing costs. If we have to do it on our own, it makes the hole a little bit deeper.
We're talking with J.R. Ross, editor of Wispolitics, and he covers Wisconsin government and politics, looking at the next two-year budget cycle, what it entails. What questions do you have about the state budget process? What would you like lawmakers to prioritize? Join in at 800-642-1234. J.R., the head of the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, Bob Lang, told members of the Assembly Ways and Means Committee last week that the way we do business has changed dramatically in the pandemic, how we shop, how we work, whether we pay the rent or not, he said. And I want to pick out the first thing he said, the way we shop. Of course, online retail sales are brisk with, consumers avoiding going into stores. What is the impact of this type of tax collection for Wisconsin?
So about a decade ago, Republicans been in control of both houses of legislature and the governor's office that saw the writing on the wall that at some point we would be able to collect sales tax from online sales involving out-of-state retailers. Back then, under kind of the national standard, unless you had a physical presence in your state, you couldn't tax those sales. Well, the Supreme Court decision opened the door to those collections, and before that happened, they wrote a law that said if we get more money from those sales tax collections on, again, out-of-state retailers, we want to use that money to drive down income taxes then. So on the one hand, if those sales are brisk, that's great. On the other, it basically is a net neutral because you take the additional revenue from those out of state, and again, I stress, it's out-of-state retailers, online sales, and you cut income taxes. So in this last budget, we saw, it's a few hundred bucks per family. If you spend a lot of money on online sales for out-of-state retailers, you probably come out even or maybe a little behind, but more or less, you get a little bit taken off your income tax bill because you're spending more on sales taxes.
Yeah. Let's take a call now. Ron is with us in Madison. Hi, Ron.
Thanks. Is it legally possible to freeze highway spending for those 24-month budget period, or to freeze 90% of that money if that's wiser? We cannot spend the highway fuel tax on anything else. Is it legal not to spend it at all and just to hold it in reserve to improve the state's credit rating, so we would pay lower interest rate on any money that the state government has to borrow? We can live without new highways for the next 5 years if we have to, while we stop the COVID pandemic and recover the rest of the economy. Is it legally
Yeah,
possible to
Ron,
just
thank
freeze it?
you. Yeah, JR, what about holding back on infrastructure and highway and roads repairs and development?
Well, first, I want to make sure you understand that we basically have two checking accounts in Wisconsin. All right. One, the one I've been talking about is the general fund that pays for healthcare costs, school costs, aid to local government. That's funded off your income taxes, corporate taxes, and sales taxes. What Ron's talking about is our transportation fund. It's a segregated fund built off of registration fees, gas taxes, and federal revenues. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I've never actually thought about freezing it or not spending that money. But I can tell you politically, that will never happen for a couple of reasons. One, the money that's coming in that goes back out, those pay for road projects that are good paying, family supporting jobs in Wisconsin. There is no way in a little bit uncertain economy that state government is going to say we're going to basically put the road building business out of business for 2 years, 5 years, whatever you want to say. I understand the idea of, maybe we have too many roads or whatnot, but the reality is that's not going to happen. Because it's like a stimulus project, and we're also watching the federal government to see what it's going to do because there's been talk about, under President Trump, and the joke has been infrastructure week for 4 solid years. About we're going to have this infrastructure week. We're going to have this big infrastructure project. It's going to be a big stimulus project. The entire country is going to come out and really help the economy. Well, now that we're moving to President Biden, maybe they get something done on that front. If that federal money comes, the state's definitely going to spend it.
WisPolitics editor J.R. Ross, our guide to the budget process, politics, how COVID could affect crafting the next 2 year budget. How do you want to see the legislature and the governor come together next year? What has your recent experience with state agencies been like? Are your expectations of government being met? Join in any of these points, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with J.R. Ross on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. What is certain, the pandemic will loom large in the 2021 to 2023 biennial budget. We're discussing how the process could unfold. Last week, we learned Republican Representative Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam was installed as co-chair of Joint Finance, the legislature's powerful budget writing committee. Bourne takes over after Representative John Nygren resigned from the legislature. Nygren served as JFC co-chair for four sessions. How do you want the legislature and the governor to work together? What does responsible budgeting mean to you? It's 800-642-1234. J.R. Ross is WIS Politics editor. He's our guide. Let's take another call now. Anne is joining us from Amory this morning. Hi, Anne.
Hi there. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just wondering what budget has been set aside for our prison system.
For state corrections, what do you see there, J.R.?
That is one of the five big drivers of state spending. It has been for a long time. I don't have the exact number off the top of my head. It is a very big number. Little caveat of good news that we reported last week was politics.com. In that regard, in terms of cost, the prison population actually has decreased for the first time in a while in Wisconsin. Now, it's not significant, but it's down somewhat through a combination of factors. That might ease some of those costs if that trend continues. But it is definitely one of the big drivers of our spending in Wisconsin, has been for years.
Anne, thank you for that question. JR, you know, in looking at the requests, running down the list, a couple things that stuck out to me, military affairs and district attorneys, two areas that are asking for more money in the biennial budget. What do you see there?
DAs are always asking for more money because they say they're perpetually understaffed, that they have issues with pay raises to keep good employees on board, that they need more positions. So that's a constant request. With military affairs, they have an infrastructure project they want to do. There's a radio project, if I remember correctly, that's driving that increase. So that's a big part of what they were looking for in the next 2 years.
Okay. Anything that stuck out to you among the requests?
A big one is the part of public instruction. It's requesting $1.6 billion in new general purpose revenue the next 2 year period. Now, obviously Governor Evers is a former state superintendent. That's one of his kind of, I don't say pet projects, but like his, you know, his favorite agencies, right? He really is a big believer in school spending. Even Governor Evers, people think, is not going to do $1.6 billion in new money for DPI because it just got a big increase the last two budgets. Carolyn Stanford Taylor, the outgoing state superintendent, made this request to, in her words, fully fund schools, get it back up to 2/3 funding commitment. If you remember, years and years ago, under then Governor Tommy Thompson, he went to this format, called a three-legged stool. You state picked up 2/3 of the cost of public education. They had the qualified economic offer that held down pay increases for teachers and revenue caps. And this is like how to control spending for schools, but also kind of keeping them increases. We went away from that model a long time ago under Governor Jim Doyle. We got away with the QEO. We also broke that commitment to 2/3 funding because we're in a difficult budget. This spending increase would go back to the state picking up those costs. That's people I talk to just don't think that is going to fly. Governor Evers undoubtedly asked for more money for schools, but $1.6 billion seems like an awful lot, people I talk to, in terms of a request from him.
What do you see out of the UW?
UW, that's an interesting picture because UW has borne the brunt of these costs, these cuts that Evers has ordered. So remember, part of the reason why we have this $1.2 billion surplus projected in this fiscal year is Governor Evers has ordered state agencies to, they call it a lapse. Basically, we gave you this money, you're going to have to cut some and give it back to us. For easiest way to explain it. The UW has borne a big chunk of that. So how are they going to be treated? Because they have the option of, you know, they have reserves. They can't jack up in-state tuition because there's still a cap on that. Mm-hmm. Out-of-state residents, they've been paying a lot more for tuition. They become a way to generate revenue for the UW, as well as grad programs and those kinds of things. So what I'm watching are, one, will the revenue limit stay, or the tuition cap stay in place? And talking to people for the last few budgets, even under Governor Walker, there was a sense that eventually at some point you have to lift those caps because you have to give the UW back the power to set its own tuition. But who's going to be the person to propose that? That's going to be the one thing, because it won't be very popular. So will they do that? And two, will UW get a big increase, or will it be held in check? You know, and if we do get a situation where things don't go well, do they get beat up a little bit? Now, Governor Evers, again, is a big education proponent. He's somebody who's advocated for UW, so I don't think he's going to beat them up in terms of what he does for his proposal. Because remember, these agency requests are not the final word. Evers now will take all these requests and mold them into his budget and flip to legislature. But if things go south, then what happens? Because UW has been, unfortunately for them, one of the places we go to find cuts when we have difficult financial times.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. We're looking at what's ahead for Wisconsin's next budget cycle and what it could mean with you as well. And your questions, 800-642-1234. Debbie is joining us from Madison with a question. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Yes, I actually have two questions. But my first question is, what can you talk about the unfunded pension liabilities for Wisconsin and what the plan is to fund those again, how that would impact our budget? My second question is with regards to what the process would be for legalizing marijuana so that Wisconsin could use those sales revenues to assist with any budget shortfalls.
Debbie, thank you for those two questions. Go ahead, Jim.
First, legalizing marijuana, Governor Evers included a provision in the state budget last time to do that. It was taken out by lawmakers. Look, the budget is the one bill that has to pass. So it gets, so people sometimes load it up with other things. I don't know that he will propose that again, but he could. But also, they could pass a separate bill anytime they want to and take care of legalizing marijuana. Two, for the pension liabilities, actually for state employees, we are one of the few states in the country that doesn't have a pension liability, really. Our pension fund is fully funded. Now, there are entities that, like Milwaukee Public Teachers, that have some issues, if I remember correctly, that are out there. But for state, the state, we don't have it. And oh, by the way, while we were talking, I went and looked it up. The Department of Corrections, their budget for request for the next 2 years is $2.6 billion.
Okay, so let's look at our state's rainy day fund here for a moment. It's supposed to be used in times like these, recession or fiscal emergency. Mm-hmm. It's projected to reach about $760 million. Any sign how that fund would be used as part of a, you know, modeling for the next two-year budget?
I get the impression that lawmakers would be loath to tap that right now because, again, we don't have a severe problem. We have revenue growth the next 2 years. If you go back a decade, the very last budget that Governor Doyle did, we actually had a situation where revenues cratered because of the Great Recession, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that situation here. We have revenue. Revenues are going to go up. So we have an imbalance between what people want to spend and what we're expected to have in resources. What's more, the rainy day fund is actually going to go up if all these projections hold. We're going to get up to $775 million roughly when this budget ends. So there's a good, healthy chunk of change there. I just don't get the impression that lawmakers are willing to tap that unless we have a true deficit where we don't just have agency requests exceeding revenues. We have spending that exceeds revenues because the bottom falls out for some reason.
Let's look at Joint Finance Committee here for a moment. Representative John Nygren leaving, recently announced he's leaving the legislature. What effect might this have on the budget process?
Well, there's suddenly a kind of a lack of experience on that committee. Not only, you know, Nygren was going to be co-chair for a record fifth term for the assembly. Alberta Darling, a Republican from River Hills, she had been co-chair for record-tying six terms in the state Senate. She's no longer on the committee at all going forward. There are a couple of reasons for that. One of them was she supported somebody else for majority leader other than Devin LeMahieu, who became the leader for Republicans going forward. But LeMahieu's new team is really not that experienced compared to what we've been used to. So it's a new dynamic. Howard Markline from Spring Green is the new Senate co-chair. He's been on the committee before, but it's his first time as co-chair. How will he lead that team? You also have a Senate Republican caucus that overall is more conservative than it's been in the past, and the committee makeup kind of reflects that. So will this committee be more reluctant to agree with Governor Evers on things? Remember, 2 years ago, Governor Evers faced pressure to veto the entire budget Republicans sent back to him, but signed off on it for various reasons. This budget tees him up to go run for election 2022. Will he be more adamant that he has to have certain things or he'll veto it? Republicans work with him. And oh, by the way, in Wisconsin, it's not like the federal government where the feds shut down if you don't pass a budget. In Wisconsin, things continue as is at current spending levels if nothing new is passed. Now, every fall, there's pressure because of school aids, but there might not be as much pressure to finish a budget. There could be a political standoff going forward.
JR, thank you for joining us.
Anytime.
J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com, covering Wisconsin government and politics. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues as we discuss a proposed response to the pandemic from the Republican Assembly. What do you think of the items on Assembly Speaker Voss's 50-point plan? What should get traction? 800-642-1234. State Cap continues on the Ideas Network.